Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, HSP, Shir number 38. That's Highly Sensitive People, Shir number 38. We're going to talk about a very important topic here. The title of this chapter in the book Sensitivity is called The Pain of Empathy, in which it's going to explain how highly sensitive people have this extreme gift of extreme empathy, but one needs to learn how to not let it hurt you. What happens very often is that you're so flooded with that empathy that you get very, very drained, and it takes an emotional toll. That is the dark side of it. Empathy can be very, very painful because it takes us into what another person is feeling, even experiencing that feeling with them and in our own body. Like all emotions, it can be very, very overpowering. It's an idea also where there is a certain burnout that comes from it, compassion fatigue, so to speak, when the constant effort of caring for others become too much. And this is the idea of, it seems to be the opposite of what we're taught, constantly give and chesed and constantly give. It is true, one needs to be a bal chesed and give, you know, exceptionally, to be really, really exceptionally giving and to do chesed for Klal Yisrael, but not at the expense of your health. How does other people's emotions affect you is a real serious thing, and one needs to work on how to go about it. One person said, when I walk into a room, the first thing I do is visually notice every person. All my senses tune into their emotions. Positive emotions keep me upbeat. Negative emotions drain me. Sometimes I can even feel pets' feelings, animals. One person said, highly sensitive person, dealing with other people's emotions is very challenging for me. There's a man talking, and the man saying men are not supposed to notice that kind of thing. In fact, I've learned subtle ways to ignore other people's eyes and the tone of voice and body language and manner of speaking and other things in order to turn down the volume of their intrusive emotional states. People are angry or have malicious intent can disrupt my nervous system for days if I have to interact with them. And sometimes they can even provoke a trauma response. After a lot of work, I now usually distinguish which emotions belong to me and which ones don't belong to me, which is a very important concept we're going to talk about soon, how you sometimes adopt and feel other people's emotions. One person said, I can feel and even visualize other people's emotions. It's difficult to know where their emotions end and where mine begin. When in a room with strangers, it is at the worst, as I have no justification for the feeling, and they often think they are my own. If I'm overstimulated, then the emotions of others will push me into negative headspace. If not overstimulated, then I often use them as clues to help people. And even then, I have to be very careful not to let too much in. Another person said, I absorb everything. I'm working on managing it, but I'm like a human thermostat. I can tell the temperature of a person or even a whole room. There's something called emotional contagion, which we catch the emotions of others. And researchers call this a chameleon effect. Chameleon effect means, just like animals, they sort of blend into their surroundings for self-protection. Or, you know, you basically mirror their emotions. So, for example, if a coworker smiles at you and the two of you pass in a hallway, you may smile back automatically. Social response, which is generally a good thing. But high empathy individuals, as sensitive people are, show that chameleon effect to a greater degree than other people show it. That's why very often strangers feel comfortable telling HSPs their life stories, because they mirror each other's emotions, and the mirroring of each other's emotions builds a certain types of trust. So what happens first is that chameleon effect. You mimic another person's cues, the smiles, the frowns, and so on. Then your body takes on the appearance of an emotion, and then your mind ultimately starts feeling that emotion, whether it's a happy emotion or a concerned emotion. And that creates this absorption of emotions, especially for family members, loved ones that are close to you. That, like, it's said pretty much that the spouses deeply influence each other's stress levels. Even if it has nothing to do with you. One sensitive wife once said that if her husband gets agitated or angry, even has nothing to do with her, and he's not angry at her whatsoever, he's upset about something else. But her body will immediately have the physical and emotional response as panic and even tears. And the husband doesn't understand what the big deal is. Now, women are more susceptible to this emotional contagion than men, especially in catching stress and negativity, because women have that more social cues and have a more tendency to feel the emotional needs of others. Sometimes when one spouse is depressed, it could feed off that the other one will feel down as well. And that empathy, that pain in the heart, could create an overload and unhealthy things. Therefore, it's important to recognize that empathy is a big matana, but the way this author puts it, it's a fork in the road. It could lead to distress and pain, but with practice, it could lead to something much more beautiful. Something that will help you who are suffering from that empathy and the other person. Now, the author calls it here compassion. The way they use the word compassion here is that it's the empathy put to constructive use. That's the idea. Empathy is part of the thing. Sometimes empathy itself really is healing to the other person, but it's not enough, and it could be destructive because it could get you so overwhelmed and entrapped without leading to positive actions. So the idea is you take that empathy and you move it to practical compassion, a response of concern, a response of caring, a response of warmth. Empathy is the feeling, very strong feeling, but then you move on from it, or you just get wrapped in your head around it and you don't do anything about it. Compassion, empathy with action, involves now a desire to help them, to act on their behalf. So it's not just, so now what you're doing is instead of being just stressed out and overwhelmed by the warm empathy feelings you have towards another person, now you put it in a real place of warmth and love by taking it into a practical action, by doing something about it. And what we have, Baruch Hashem, as Yidden, as Jews, is you could always transform it into a tefillah, into a prayer. So empathy is a wonderful thing. Noisa ba'oil, which we call, it's a beautiful thing. But empathy alone is not enough, because that could really hurt you. So for example, empathy alone, you'll experience the same emotion as the other person. But compassion is to recognize what's their emotion and what's yours, to separate it somewhat in order to help that other person. Empathy is inward focused. Our own feelings, our own understandings, the way we feel about something. And the empathy that translates into compassion of a practical aspect of it is to have now an outward focus. You connect to the other person. You act to help the other person. That is the idea. It gives you a calmness. The empathy, channeled rightly, will give you positive emotions, will motivate you to approach and to assist. And it requires work, though. It's not easy to do. It requires work. So every highly sensitive person needs to know and understand, if they truly are compassionate and they feel that strong, strong empathy, in order for it not to get into an unhealthy place of an overwhelmingness or confusion, one basically right away says, what am I going to do with this empathy? If they could actually do something to help the other person in a normal, healthy way, let them do it. If they can't, they don't know the person, they have no way of helping the person directly, then you turn it into a form of prayer. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them. You pray on their behalf. Then the empathy has use. Then the empathy became a structure. It became a kaima. It became a positive act. It became a mitzvah. That is the idea. So, not to center too much on ourselves. That is the problem. We become, even though it's sort of a catch-22. We have empathy towards another person. It seems like we're really caring and giving, but the strong feeling of it makes us self-absorbed. So the idea is you take that self-absorption and say, it's not about me, it's about that other person. And you start helping that other person. You have to have self-compassion also. Your boundaries, when you're overflooded with emotion, does not mean you don't care when you see other people suffering or that you don't feel empathy for them. You're showing compassion by setting healthy limits on what you're giving, and then you can give in a healthy way. Another thing very important to know is what you could do is find small actionable steps. What happens is you hear about these tremendous tragedies and overwhelming things. You're heartbroken from it. So the first thing you do is sometimes you could help the pile. You could raise money. You could do different things. Like in Eretz Yisrael, people did a lot of things after October 7th, and they helped families in so many ways. You're able to do that. That's beautiful. At the very least, you daven. That's how you put it into a real thing. You start davening, but know your realistic ability to do that. And also, use it for positive emotions as well. Cultivate empathetic joy too. Be happy at other people's good fortunes. Very often we're so marred and so influenced and so touched by the pain of other people, we need to be happy with their good fortune. Sharing in their victories, being happy. Their simcha is my simcha. And mindfulness and calmness and being curious about people. Because knowing that they want to be heard and gaining a deep understanding of a situation. But again, not in an overwhelming way. Not in an overwhelming way. There's one person that was overwhelmed and then decided to go away with a person she eventually married. She had a very pressurized job as a care worker or a nurse, and then she took a break. She spent days walking and hiking and sitting on the edge of a sea cliff with nothing but the sky. And she composed poetry, and her sensitive mind got to run free without this disruption. And this is what she wrote about this. Not everyone could do this, but once in a while, this is important for a highly sensitive person to do this and to detach if they could. Go one day to a park alone, Prospect Park in the middle of the day or wherever it is, and just walk on a beautiful spring day, sit by the lake, whatever you need to do. So she said that for the first time in my life, I had time and space to heal. No social media telling me to lose weight with detox tea. No advertisements telling me the hole inside me could be filled with a new bikini or nice high heels. No beep, beep, beep of the washing machine or the phone or the supermarket checkout. If I had a break from the rushing around of modern day life and the break from soaking up 100 different people's emotions as I passed through the day, I checked out of the mainstream, and it was the most precious gift I could have ever given myself. They did this and this person who they eventually married, and that was a great experience for her. Sometimes we have to pull away and move away. Highly sensitive people process everything so deeply, and we have to really understand and brave the storm and move forward. So the nakuda of this chapter is that empathy is a tremendous bracha. Empathy and empathetic listening to other people can create a tremendous healing. It's one of the greatest gifts of highly sensitive people. But it's dangerous because it creates a tremendous amount of pain and overwhelmingness and self-absorption. Therefore, it's very important to channel it. Sometimes create borders. And very importantly, to transform it into what she calls compassion. And what we're calling here is empathy, going to the step of practical action. Practical action does not mean necessarily that you have to do something if you can't. Even davening. You're praying for another person now, or giving tzedakah on their behalf, or doing a mitzvah in this chus that made this person have a yeshua. So then what you're doing is you're expressing your pain and putting it into Tefillat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right then and there, you're creating a structure for that empathy. Right then and there, that empathy becomes part of your connection to Hashem. It becomes godliness within you. It's your neshama expressing itself. So that is very, very important, because we sometimes get such a wave of this empathy and this feeling of suffering of other people that we don't know how to think, we can't function. And we have to learn how to pull back that as much as possible with a healthy border. And that, ironically, does not make you feel less. It just makes you feel in a more healthy, more practical way. Bracha v'atzlacha.